Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 8 through 15. I am not, by the way, this comes from the writings of Paul. I am not laying down any rules, but by showing how eager others are to help, I am trying to find out how real your own love is. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rich as he was, he made himself poor for your sake, in order to make you rich by means of his poverty. My opinion is that it is better for you to finish now what you began last year. You were the first, not only to act, but also to be willing to act. On with it then, and finish the job. Be as eager to finish it as you were to plan it, and do it with what you now have. If you are eager to give, God will accept your gift on the basis of what you have to give, not on what you don't have. I'm not trying to relieve others by putting a burden on you, but since you have plenty at this time, it is only fair that you should help those who are in need. Then, when you are in need and they have plenty, they will help you. In this way, both are treated equally. As the scripture says, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little.
Thank you, Ray. Thank you, choir. As always, we appreciate your music. 25 years ago, and I know some of you have been to this national park, 25 years ago, Yellowstone National Park was a victim of defoliation and erosion and basically an unbalanced ecosystem. But in 1995, everything began to change for the good when wolves, gray wolves, were reintroduced and nature returned to balance. You see, without wolves, the deer and elk populations came out of the mountains, consumed all the vegetation in the valleys, inundated the riverbanks, and eroded them. But when wolves came back, obviously, the deer and elk took off. They went back to the hills. As a result, those areas began to regenerate. The foliage came back. Species such as birds and beavers and mice and bears returned into what is now a more balanced habitat. Balance is the key to health and life for our ecosystem. And humans, because we are a part of the ecosystem, also must be balanced. Our lives also depend on balance. Balance in day-to-day activity between work and play and rest. We need that to be healthy. Balance in our diets, and I know that's not as popular a balance, but nevertheless important. Even the Earth that we travel through space on is a balance between being too close or too far from the sun. We are in that Goldilocks region where we are just right. Even our ethical system is based on balance, at least if we follow Aristotle, who believed that all of our values are balances between extremes. So, for example, courage is a balance between rashness on one hand and cowardice on the other. So even our ethical system's based on balance. And balance also pertains to money and stewardship. Balance pertains there as well. Our responsibility as humans to give back, to offset what we take, there has to be a balance, to restore it and to equalize the equation. So, in the broadest sense, balance, stewardship balance, is based on the idea that we must see life as a gift to which we respond with a lifetime of service. Shirley Chisholm, legislator, I think she's passed away since she said this anyway. Service is the rent we pay for the privilege of living on the earth. Service is the rent we pay for the privilege of living on this earth. More specifically, in the context of stewardship, it means supporting the ministries of the church with our commitment of time and energy and, yes, even money. The Apostle Paul talks about balancing our stewardship. In fact, uses that term. He is writing the Corinthian church requesting money. Yeah, he's doing that. He's requesting money as part of a collection that he's taking up for the impoverished Christians back in Jerusalem. And his plea directly mentions the concept of balance. In verses 13 and 14, he says, "Now, I don't mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you. It is a question of a fair balance between your abundance and their need." Your abundance and their need. In effect, what he's saying is, he's requesting money, he knows that, but he doesn't want his request to impoverish the Corinthians. He's not telling them to give everything away, but to provide more of a balance between their surplus and Jerusalem's poverty. And I really like this concept of balance as a rule of thumb for our personal giving to the church. It is a formula that respects the needs that we and our families have. We're not supposed to give everything away. It calls to mind the needs that the church has, however, that must be balanced against the needs that we privately have in our families at home. And the question as we examine our own giving habits is this: whether there is a fair balance between whatever excess we might have and the great needs of our congregation to fulfill its mission and ministry to this neighborhood. That is the rule of thumb. It is the rule of balance, the balance between excess and the needs of others. And it's at that point I can stop, because fortunately for me and for you, I can't tell you where the tipping point of that balance is. I can't give you a percentage that you're required to give. I can't give you a numerical number that you're supposed to give. No. I can only raise the question, which is proper for me to do, and it is required of me to do. But I don't dare answer the question for any particular person, percentage-wise or dollar-wise. Now, I can give you intellectual rationale for supporting this church, but I think that academic justifications pale in significance to the emotional appeal of why I and others give generously to their churches. Here is why I give to the churches I have belonged to. As most of you knew and know, I grew up in church. I was a church kid. And although my father never met anything close to what a UCC minister is called to get as a recommended salary, we were embraced by churches everywhere, from Pennsylvania to Washington State to Florida. All of the places that we lived, all of the church families to which we belonged, embraced us without any reservation. There's something special about being part of an extended family that accepts you, cares about you, and gives you an identity. You learn quickly that you have a place to be, and that you matter to the people who are around you in that place. And I can't put it into the words, really, even as I try. I cannot put that exactly into the words that I wish I could seize. But that is a very special thing. Some of you have enjoyed over the years, it is no longer on television except by repeats, the show Cheers. Everybody wants a place to go where everyone knows your name. And everybody is glad that you came. There is a feeling there that is unmatched anywhere else that I have found in our world. But beyond all of that, I remember the many ways the churches of both my past and present have been there to help others. They've not only helped me. I've witnessed it to a wonderful extreme right here, and it is a wonderful extreme right here. We have Sunday breakfasts. We have Tuesday and Friday snack packs that we give out free of charge. We have family needs ministry on Mondays. We have the many wheelchair ramps that our team has built over the years, and the people we have impacted by the free use of our building, such as a free counseling center that many people still don't know about, and a classroom for the graduate equivalency class to meet. We can literally measure in thousands of people those who have been served in the last decade. Thousands of people. That makes me feel like the money that I have placed here in the trust of this church, that the money has not been wasted on overhead, but has actually been an investment in the lives of other people, which in turn makes this a stronger community. I've seen thanks on the faces of those whom we have served, people walking through here after receiving the benefit of one of our services, and moreover, the feeling of satisfaction on the faces of those who do the serving. It's a two-way street, you know. When we serve others, they are blessed and we are blessed in the serving. And again, I can't put a price tag on any of that. To have a heart warmed by the generosity of others as it makes a difference in other people's lives, that's pretty significant and beyond words. And now I want to go one step further. It is a bold and audacious step, not always taken by pastors, but it was recommended to me once by a close pastoral friend that I had in the last place of my service. He happened to be the pastor at the time of the First Congregational Church in Fremont, Nebraska, very close down the road to the church I served in Arlington, Nebraska. And we talked about stewardship and shared stewardship campaigns with each other, and he told me one time that he, every year, would make public the amount of money that he gives to the church. After all, he said, what good is preaching stewardship if the pastor is unwilling to sacrifice himself or herself? I don't know what any one of you gives, and I don't want to know, and I promise that I will never know. That's not my business. That's your business and God's. But I will tell you what I give. In this last year, $7,700 in the gifts that we have given to the church through tithes and offerings and other special appeals, which works out to, well, quite a lot of money. You can do a lot with $8,000, can't you? Lori and I choose to invest in this congregation and in this community because it works and it matters. Now, I'm not doing it to boast. There are people, I'm sure, but I don't know. There are people, I'm sure, who give more and can give more. But it is a substantial amount, and I share it because I want you to know how much I believe in what we are doing here at St. Lucas United Church of Christ, in the Jacobsville community, in the city of Evansville, in the state of Indiana, in the country of the United States of America, in the world. I believe in what we are doing. And I believe that the monetary resources I share with this congregation are an investment in the lives of other people, making this community a better place to live. So, all I ask is that you take the balance test yourself. I believe you received in the mail from our church council this week a giving table, and you might have plugged in exactly where you are on that giving. We do encourage you to take a look at that and see whether or not you wish to increase the balance on the side of giving instead of just taking and keeping. The only question that I leave with you is, how balanced are your resources between what you keep and what you give away? There has to be balance. And whether you give to this church or give to another charity or other cause of justice, whatever cause that is, there has to be a balance between what you give and what you keep. And then, after asking that question, search your heart. Make your decision. That's it. No one needs to know except you and God. So may God bless each gift, and may God bless each giver as we continue to fund the ministries that God has placed in our midst. Amen and amen.